to the end of Mizmar Mem. I'll finish up a few more things in this Mizmar. Okay, I'll read the Psukim very quickly again, just to recap. Okay, the end of this Mizmar with David is simply describing over here the people that are gloating over his imminent demise. And he basically says to them that reports of my departure of this world are premature. Okay, I have not yet left this world, I'm still alive. And he will read the psalm. Gam yishloimi gam, the person, the ish shloimi asher batachti boi oichal lachmi hidolai. Okay, the people that I had faith in, who sit at my dining room table, they have become my enemies. They are waiting in ambush for me. V'ato Hashem chonin v'akimini, you Hashem, please show me favor and please restore me. V'ashalem olohem. Okay, so we discussed this. We learned yesterday only the Mitzudas David. When I get better, I will take revenge. I will avenge all of the wickedness that they have done when I was vulnerable. Pasuk Yudbeis, Bezos Yodatiki, Chafatzbi, when Bezos, what's Bezos? When you will restore my health, Bezos, then I will know that you really love me. That's ki lo yoria oivi oiloi. You will not allow my enemies to gloat over me, to exult, to shout with cheers. They're waiting for me to die. And when I'll die, you'll hear in the street people honking their horn and shouting and yelling, wonderful, David's gone. Vani bisumi tomachti bi. I bisumi. The reason why I merited to my health to be restored is because I lived a life of tmimos. I lived a life of tmimos, therefore that's why, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you came to my aid. It was a good investment. Kevani I besumi tomach dibi vatatsiveni lefonecha loylam, and you allowed me to stand firm before you forever. And then the last pasuk, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min oylam veolam amen v'amen. Now let's take a look over here what it says over here. A lot of things to discuss. Let's look over here first that we do over here the Radak. The Radak says pasuk Yud Aleph v'ato Hashem chaneni v'hakimeni kihem oymer mishlo akum. V'ato tikimeni, and you Hashem will restore me. Before I do that, I'm sorry, I have to just go back. One, let's go back. Let's. What? These are the people that. Let's go back to Pasuk 374. Let's return to I left out of Pun Radak, page 374, to see the words inside. I said this already twice, but page of Pasuk Yud. Look at the Radak and Pasuk Yud. On page 375, it says, "Gam v'hagam shenishmarti mikachas oichel mishum adam, rak me'es mishorei sneman beisi shebatachti boshu lo yaseli ro'a." That David says that I never took food; I only ate food from my servants. I was afraid someone may assassinate me; the food may be poisoned. I only put food in my mouth that has been tasted by my servant. And he says over here, "Avol gam ish shloimi." Asher botachti boy higdil olai okev umara v'hoya imohem bakoishrim lahashchis eitz belachni. Look what he writes over here, that my taste, gesundheit, the person who was my taster. Okay, if not for the Radak telling you this, you would say it's a wild drush to say this idea. I'm Radak on page, I made a mistake again. I'm always making so many mistakes. I'm reading the Malbum. I'm sorry, the Malbum. It's the Malbum. It's not the Radak. I'm sorry, the Malbum. On page 375 in Pasuk Yud. So he says over here, Gam, the second line, Avul Gam ish shiloimi asher botach di bo, higdil olai okev, umar v'hoya imohem bakoyishim. He was with them in the conspiracy. Lahashchis, to put eitz belachmi, to put eitz wood in my bread. Now, what does that mean, wood, eitz? Obviously means some type of poison, some type of derivative of some type of herb in my food. And he explains, it was the custom of the kings in ancient times, the servant that prepared the food, was required to taste the food before the king eats the food. So you people over here in the Shia have claimed that the president of the United States gets the same treatment. Yeah. Is that really true?
Yeah.
That what?
Camilla's job.
Come on. Okay, I always remember the story with Bill Clinton, and they were driving somewhere with the whole entourage, and you know they had the president, and he was in the car there, and he was very hungry, and he saw McDonald's on the road, so he told the president of the United States, he told you know he came out when he drives they have with them an ambulance and a communication center and a car to carry the football, and all, you know they have mamish 50 cars. And he was going to some event, and they were passing on the highway, and he saw, you know, McDonald's. You know, I'm hungry. I want to go to McDonald's. Let's go into the store to get whatever. So his security chief said, "Mr. President, we don't do this. We didn't. You know, we this has to be done weeks in advance. You know, to vet what's going on. You know, to see what's going on." He says, "I don't care. I'm the president. I want a cheeseburger. I want a hamburger. I want to go now into McDonald's. Just pull over and let's go in." So they scrambled and they pulled over, and the people there in McDonald's didn't know what hit them. All of a sudden, the President of the United States walks in, and he ordered, and then he told them, he says, he told the guy that one of his Secret Service, "Can I borrow some money? I don't have any money on me." Lent them a couple of bucks to go by, and they were just bewildered that the President of the United States, out of nowhere, without any hachana, he was hungry. Do you think someone tasted the food before he had? I don't think so. I think he just ate the food. He was hungry. He ate the food. It's very funny.
They don't keep a poisoned hamburger in case it comes from.
Oh, so that's the assumption. That's the assumption, right? This is an awesome shaf in the Malbim. That's what it says. Ordinarily, you think the people that sit at my table, you have guests, the people that you host every Shabbos, that sit at your Shabbos table, they would never betray you. You're so kind to them, you feed them, you schmooze with them, you give them attention. Would they betray you? Yeah. The Oichle Lachmi, my closest friends who come over for a Shabbos food, even they betrayed me. The Malbim says it's not the Pshat, or the Dirim Pshat. What it means is the people, my servants who taste my food. Okay, the people who taste my food, they tasters, they are really secretly, they're tasting the food, but when I'm not looking, they're putting poison to kill me. They were part of the conspiracy against me. I'm turning the page now. Okay, and that concludes the Malbim. Now let's go to the Radak. The Radak on page 377. So I told you the Pshat over here is that according to the Mitzvah David, that when David makes a promise, he makes a commitment that when Hashem, when you heal me and I am restored to my health and my good position, I will vashalom olohem. So I told you from the Mitzvah David, it means gemul. I will take revenge. I will take revenge against my enemies when Hashem restores me to health. Look at the Radak. The Radak say, V'ato Hashem chonen v'akimeni, Hashem show me favor and restore me, ki heim oimim shlo okum, V'ato tekimeni, v'ashalom olohem mima sh'omru ra olai bodeni choyle. I'm going to go, this that they said evil. Loi omar sh'yas olohem ra. So the Radak over here learns pshat, David is not saying that he's going to punish them. I let them go free. I release them. David says that it was derech, it was his minuk, never ever to take revenge. When someone did him harm, and then he was caught, and he was in his presence, he let go of him for free. He released the criminals who have committed personal crimes against him without any retribution. V'achalitza means I released tsoiriri, my enemies, reikam, empty, meaning I didn't punish them. No, he let them out, he let them go free. Ella, why? Because that was David. David's derech was Hashem will punish you. Now, obviously, you're going to say that it doesn't work in New York to let the bails go out, the Rishoyim to go out without bail. Okay, obviously, we have to understand everything in context that in David's situation, it was not a danger to society, and they were humiliated, I guess, by being caught, and leave it to Hashem. Let Hashem is the one who brings about retribution. Like we say, today, this doesn't really work in society. Today, if there's not a various, we see that defund the police is insanity, total insanity for people to even have a hava mina that you're gonna defund the police. It got to be literally, I don't know what they're thinking. And after a year and a half of playing with this, the crime rate in America is through the roof. And what was the hava mina? Ish esrei eyu chayim below. Chazal already said that if there's no fear of government, people will literally eat each other up alive. Cannibalism. But yet, David here says that according to the Mitzudos, David says, when I am restored, I'm going to take revenge. Radak says just the opposite. Just the opposite. It says, Vashalomo, he's learning the Pshat, I'll make peace with them. I will let them go peacefully. I will not harm them. And he brings
kill
the pasuk.
Kindness?
I'm sorry?
Kill them with kindness?
Well, let's see. He says let's read further. Some of them taka say that. Let's see.
Maybe this is only a crime personally.
Oh, right. So you have to take everything in context. They're a different type of criminal. So Rav Mordechai is saying a personal crime. They're not a danger to society. Or maybe the fact that they've been caught, they've been put to shame, they already have received the humiliation of being proven wrong is enough to punish them. What is the role? This is a very big debate in the world in general. What is the role of prison? Is the role of prison to punish people, or is the role of prison to protect society from crazy people?
Both.
So it's both. So therefore, look, in America, in New York, it's called a correction facility. They don't call it jail. A torture chamber. They call it a correction facility. You used to correct them in their bad ways. You give them, and lanafkamin is, you give them all these amenities. You give them, good food, and you give them entertainment. Well, if jail is a place to punish, you give them nothing. You torture them. If prison is a place to protect society from crazy people, so it's, and it's not the role of government to punish people, so give them good accommodations, give them good food,
the other term used is penitentiary,
right?
Which to penitent, to teshuva,
right. To repent.
To repent, to do teshuva.
That's why the early penitentiaries were, the walls had no windows, the only window was up, so they used to look up at God.
The heaven.
The original
Very interesting.
Yeah. Even the mitzvahs of Bnei Noah, one of the laws is they have to have a justice system. And in Pashtus, justice means the criminal has to be punished for his crime.
There's a knas on the
So
in the Torah, there's we once discussed this.
If a person does a crime, the earth cries out for the blood of the one who
kills somebody.
You know, he can do all the tshuva he wants in the world, but he has to get skiva or whatever it is.
Kill somebody. So there are certain right. There are misas bez and there are malchus.
Justice means punish for your crime.
Punishment.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's
look, we have in the Torah. Yeah.
Some form of accountability.
You're a dalin misa's bezin. The whole Torah is full of punishment. Kores, and his malchus arboim, malchus mardois, and then there's the kippos. It says in Chazal that there are times when bezin, even though extra was called extra legal murder, there's no witnesses, but bezin's circumstantial evidence indicates that the person is guilty. They kill him. How do they kill him? They don't kill him with Misas Bezdin. They don't kill him with Skila Strefe Hergechenik. They kill him in a kippah, which is some type of technique they put him
no
in a room. Though they give him barley. Still means they put him in a brace, which does not allow his body to expand, and they feed him food which causes his belly to expand, and there's no room to expand, so he dies. He explodes, something like that. Whatever that is, it sounds like a very torturous death. And that death does not give him the benefit of kapara in this world of Mitzvah Spezdin. So you do see that there is extra legal punishment in Chazal, but yet this is still a very big topic of discussion. That from a perspective of the Torah, what is the role of there are many averos that a person can do that the Torah does not give punishment, does not mention punishment. So what exactly is the role of Bezdin? What is the role of a society in dealing with criminals? We've mentioned many times there are many different words in the Torah, in Tanakh, to refer to a prison. There's a mishmar, and it's by the mekoshesh, etzim, beis ha'asurim, a mishmar, a what would we say? Beis hakele. Okay, right. What?
You say in Yiddish, it's tvisa.
Okay, but what in the Torah? This is a very big topic. This is a very big topic. Here it is amazing.
Never
it says
never of a prison term or a prison being.
How much? Well, you have golos. You have a person who kills something inadvertently.
Golos is not in a prison.
So he goes. So there he goes for rehabilitation.
Very well.
He goes for rehabilitation, but he has to remain there. He's still limited. He cannot leave. Well, if he leaves, then the goyel hadam, the relative, can kill him on the spot. This is big topic. Now the only reason why I bring it down over here is because over here David over here complains bitterly about these very wicked people. These wicked people, they're yearning for him to die. He even, according to the Malbim, that the people who he can't even trust the person who gives him food, he may have poisoned the food. And then he says, when I get better, v'ashalom olohem. What does that mean? We have here an explanation that goes mikotze elakotze. The Mitzudah seemingly said gmul, I'm going to punish them. The Radak over here says, he puts a post, that was not David's derech. David said himself, we learned this before, v'chalitzot tzori reikam, I released my enemies without them receiving any punishment. So it cannot then be that here in this pasuk, are you okay? It cannot then be in this pasuk that it says v'ashalima, it means gemul. I'm going to punish them, because David himself says that was not his derech. And again, obviously, every person, every situation, every society has to, as Mordechai pointed out from the Torah, you see much, much more that there is punishment. If someone commits a crime, there is punishment in this world for what they've done. And David over here, how is he allowed to release people, Rekam, when they've committed a crime against the Malchus, against the king, against Klal Yisrael? Okay, then we go further. Ela Shatashlam Hu. So look what he writes over here. This is very profound. Ela Shatashlam Hu. The punishment is Shayodim Ki Ra Hoyu Oisim Bamesh Hoyu Choshvim. You know what the Allah? Rabbi Denu Choyle. The punishment is shame. And that's the ultimate punishment. When a person becomes fully aware of what they've done and they're put to shame. And oh hatashlom hu shlo yilbosh sak bachaloisam velo yispal lalayim velo yetze litzoroisam. So this is another interesting chiddush. The punishment is that when they get sick, when they have problems, I'm just not going to come and exert myself to come to their benefit. This is a very interesting idea, because unfortunately I'm not such a great guy, and I know this personally. I know. Not that long ago, someone, it's a very big concern for me. Someone really, really once, I'm telling you, my personal life really lashed into me, really, really hurt me, and really, I really felt a lot of pain. So what do you do? So what do I do? I can't do anything about it. So I just swallow my pride and just take it. But then when this person, there was something going on, and people were coming wishing him Mazel Tov and coming over to him, I'm a bad person. I just could not bring myself to go out of my way to lavishly participate in his simcha. It's like, you really caused me a lot of pain. And how am I supposed to? There's nothing I can do. Not like I'm not a power. It's none of my business. So you just swallow your pride. But then, when it comes time where I should go and run after him and bow to him and participate in the simcha, you know, it's very hard. It's very, very hard. I don't feel the need to go the extra mile and join him in his great simcha, because you don't hold for me and you know what you've done and you've caused me a lot of pain and anguish. So David is saying that according to the Radak, that's exactly what it means. Va'ashal molchem. You know what the punishment is? The punishment is just don't go the extra mile and party with him. He writes here that when they were sick, they'll like, well, you know what the punishment is? When they'll get sick, I'm just not going to say tilm for them. And no one knows the difference anyway. That they went and they were conspiring against me. They couldn't wait until I die. So Dov, I swallowed my pride. No. Now it's 10 years later and I get an email that this guy is very sick. Everyone should say Tehillim. So David says, I'm going to punish him. How am I going to punish him? I'm just not going to add him to the list of my personal list of people that I daven for every day. I say Tehillim every day for 20 minutes. I'm not going to. Is that called revenge? In the Balei Musar, the Balei Musar, how do you deal with it? Well, that's what it says over here. He says over here, "Wo ella hatashmam." The fourth line is an incredible thing. What he says in the Radak, what is the punishment? Ella shatashlamu sheyodim kirah. And go further. Go down a little one. Five lines down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down in the Radak. Is an incredible chiddush. Go ask the Mesilas Yesharim, the Chavos Halavavos, Derech Hashem. Go ask what they say about this musar. Oy hatashlum hu shelo yilbash sak bachaloisam. That when they get sick, I will not wear sackcloth. Velo yispal lilaleim. I'm not going to daven for them. If they hate me so much that they try to kill me, I have no obligation to daven and to go daven for them and pray for them when they get sick. V'lo yetzer litzoroi sam. I'm not going to feel bad when they suffer. Isn't that shocking? Such an interpretation? Maybe it's not.
I think for you, for this person whom you considered an enemy.
I think it's an enemy.
That you were angry at him. I think for you to go over and wish him a mazel tov would have been wrong.
Would it have been more therapeutic for me to forgive him?
No, I think it would have been... I think it would have been wrong for you.
Why would it be wrong?
Because you don't mean it, and you don't want it, and you're very angry at him, and you're giving him the impression that everything is fine. And you still... I think it would have been...
I agree with you. I agree with you.
You're not being a big sadik by being a faker.
Exactly. That's how I feel. But... I don't know in the world, you don't go out of your way to go to be nasty, but do you go, you know, exert yourself? Very often you have, like to say, in shul, there are people who make simple, there are people who make simchas. So you're not close with these people, but if you're close enough with them to a certain degree, you know, you see them every single day. So after Ma'ariv, at 10 o'clock, if they're making the wedding over here in Chinka, you know, it's a few blocks away, so someone's going there, so you get in the car, and you go there within 10 minutes, and you go there, you walk into the wedding, and you say mazel tov, and you dance for 5 minutes, and you go back home. So, you know, that's like a certain type of, certain people, you know, you're very close with family, you know, you go for the whole wedding. Certain people, listen, I don't go, I'm not interested in running around. Certain people are in the middle.
Right.
You see them every day, you know, it's a gesture you like very much if they would do it for you, so you reciprocate. So, like this type of situation, it's like exactly that type of situation, this type of thing. So, it just bothers me. It just bothers me very much. I feel very, very hurt. So I'm going to go and exert myself to go. So you talk to the big Balei Musar. I have no doubt they'll say to you, take the hatred out of your heart and just forget about it.
But you're not taking it out of
your mind. That's my point. Yeah, I don't know what to say.
I'd like to ask you a question. Yeah. If a person is being misbowed to a chef.
What?
If a person is being misbowed, you're diving to a chef. with the fear right feel to say is Reuven. I hate Reuven. I know I'm wrong, but I still hate him. Would that be a feel of that to Emerson?
I don't know what to say. I'm not on a level to know how to how these things work. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know how this works. There's sinas chinam, kol yishal reibim zeh lazeh, and people make mistakes. I don't go insult people all the time. I do the same thing to other people. I hope I don't try. I don't do. This was pretty. What happened to me? I was really shaken.
Yeah.
I was really shaken to the core. I really couldn't believe how.
Does he know, by the way?
Does he know?
That you were shaken to the core?
I think he does. Because he tried to like apologize to me before Yom Kippur, he tried to apologize to me, and I in the bar. Yeah, I was very gracious. Yeah, I said yeah. Like I made nothing out of it, but I can't. I'll tell you, I know of a maysa where a person did something very, very bad to someone else, really, really bad. And that person went. He came to ask mechila. He came, but I saw this in front of my eyes. He came to ask mechila in a very cold way, in a very as cold as it gets. And the person who was hurt, he said to him, I'll tell you with bepeh. I'm moichel you. Lo ye'onei shem adam b'sibasi. I'm telling you, but I also want to tell you. Well, I'm moichel you, it's lip service. Because what you did and the consequences are ongoing, the consequential. And yeah, I could tell you that I could say with my mouth 100 times, I'm moichel you, but you should know there's a lot of damage. And I'll tell you with my peh, but this type of mechila, I don't know if this is the way what Chazal had in mind. I'm moichel you, but I can't take it out of my heart because I deal with the consequences of this every single day. So does that mean? Yeah, he was extremely brutally MS. This person, he was brutally MS. I remember this like yesterday. This happened. I remember this like yesterday, and I don't know. No one came back to tell us how these things work. Chazal have a very, very big debate with the brothers of Yosef. Did Yosef ever forgive his brothers? They sold him as a slave. Can you imagine? You sell. So that's a big debate. Avichat tzivo lifnei moitzer lema ono sono lepesha achecha forgive.
But Yosef had the schus to see how it was working. He saw the circle. So what?
That's Hashem's cheshbonos. That's Hashem's cheshbonos.
Yosef accepted. They never believed that Yosef forgave them. They were always.
This is a big debate. There's no answer to this.
No. At the end of Vayechi, when it says Avichot Tzival, if they moso lemar, that's when Yosef cried because he knew that they never got over it. He did. They didn't. Because he knew they were lying.
Okay, this is all subject to debate.
If Yaakov wanted Yosef to forgive them, he would have told Yosef, not the brothers. You know.
Look, there's a medrash, famous medrash, that the Asara Haruge Malchus was a punishment for if Yosef forgave them with a full heart, then it couldn't possibly happen.
Did. I think Yosef.
Then there is.
The way it played
out.
Someone broke
it out. He never said.
Right. Rav Moshe talks about it. Yaakov talks about this. Yeah. It doesn't say anywhere explicitly.
What does that mean? He says, listen, I got over it. Don't worry about it now. You're going to pay for it later. Now, don't worry about it. Eventually, you're going to have to pay a heavy price.
Why? If he was moichel them.
God will take, in other words, God knows what you did. I'm over it. God is not. That's what the Abarbanel says. God is not over it. Now, don't worry about it. I'm not going to do anything. But listen, that's now. Later, who knows?
But if you moichel, don't they teach us in kindergarten that if you moichel a person, it's over? V'lo ye'onesh shum Adam Bisibasi. We're supposed to say this every night. But you say, Hashem, listen, I'm Meichel, 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 V'lo Ye'one Shum Adam Bisibasi. It's Tilazaka. So we're taught in kindergarten that if you really Meichel a person, B'lev Shalem, and that person does Teshuvah to Hashem, everything is clean. The person did the Avera. So the assumption is that the brothers did Teshuvah, they asked Mechila, we have to assume these are the Shiftei Ka, holy people. They said, Ono, Sono, Lepesha, Achecha. They did Teshuvah, and if Yosef forgave them, so why then should it be the Asora Haruge Malchus? Why should there be all the tzaris to Chazal say the blood libels? Okay, also the blood libels are the consequence of that. So what do you want to say? So some say that you don't find anywhere in the Torah explicitly that Yosef forgave them. Why not? Yosef at tzaddik, he supported them. So some will tell you that, you know, just because you say I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, the damage is done. Yosef suffered enormous. The scars are there. The scars are there. In order to really completely forgive a person, that sometimes it can be an impossible task. Some say that this medrash, there's a famous Afka who says this medrash that says that the Asora Haruge Malchus happened because of Mechivas Yosef, the Paitonim Bodo Milibam. This is fiction. There's no such thing that Hashem would go punish the Asora Haruge Malchus because of a story which happened in the Torah 2,000 years ago. It's baloney. This is Bodom Yilibam. This the Paitanim got carried away with themselves and they made up things that don't exist. Okay? Now, that's not what they tell us in yeshiva. We're taught over and over.
It's just like when we learned the, you know, Al Shlosha Pishe Yisrael, the Al Arba Lo Ashivenu, all the Mefarshim say it has nothing to do with
what Yosef said. So this is all very debatable. This is very, very, how does all of this work? When a person causes someone harm. When you cause someone harm, is it an accident? Sometimes you don't even realize what you're doing. Some people, they're foolish. They don't even realize something. You can't go consider it, but it's premeditated. When a person goes, knows exactly what he's doing. And what got into his head to do this? You don't know how people work together. The people have difficulties in life, and they have to suddenly let it out. This is a world that we don't understand. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because you have over here an incredible pasuk, and you have an incredible diversity among all the mefarshim as to translate the words of forgiving a person, for dealing with a person who has caused you great harm. These people have come to David HaMelech. David is dying. He's on his deathbed. And al derech ha-teva, he will die very soon. And people are coming to pay their last respects. And David's a brilliant person. He can see right through them. They're just coming to make litzonis. They're coming in there, his enemies, and they're looking around, and he hears what they're saying behind his back. And David is obviously very sad that these people, they're taking advantage. They can't wait for him to die. He has these enemies. And then, miraculously, David gets better. A miracle. And now David says, now it's time. Payday. And the word the pasuk uses, V'yato Hashem choneni v'akimeni, favor me, restore my health, so that what? V'ashalom Elohim. Now this is heavy duty stuff. So the mitzvah stuff, it says, go back to the mitzvah, what it says, one word, pasuk yiralef, v'ashalom Elohim, means what? What am I going to do to them? Kigmulam. I'm going to give them what they deserve. Okay, that means clear as day, when I get better, you guys, you're all fired. Mm-hmm. You're fired. You're finished. I'm gonna take revenge. I'm gonna go subpoena you. We're gonna rip you to shreds. Okay? The Radak, Rashi's silent. Rashi doesn't even get involved in this. Rashi doesn't want to get involved in this. What does it say?
It says in Pirkei Avos, Shlosh Dvarim Motzinus the Minola.
Yeah.
In other words, it shortens your life because it affects you. It eats you up inside.
Well, human nature.
When you have this attitude, it destroys you.
Yeah, yeah.
Before it destroys the other people.
What does it say in the Targum? The Targum says, Ve'efra lohoin. Efra lohoin, in my vocabulary, has a connotation that they're gonna pay for this. They're going to pay dearly for conspiring to kill me and what they're doing. Radak, no way. That's not what it means. David would never lift a finger to anyone. And he lets them go. So what then does it mean? Shalom Elohim. So he says, so far we learned two pirushim. The fact that I survived, automatically they have shame. The fact that I called the Baruch Hu, the ultimate way to take revenge against the person is to be successful. Right. We all know that.
Right.
If you're successful, people, they put you down. And you go and you just don't ignore them and you become very successful. That, and they're put to shame. That is the ultimate punishment. You just don't touch them, don't deal with them. That's what he says in this first interpretation. Vashalom Elohim, I will pay them back indirectly by being successful, and they will be put to shame seeing that I am a tzaddik and I did nothing wrong and they were wrong in what they did to me. Then he gives a second interpretation, which is utterly shocking. And he says, you know what the punishment is? Is that when they get sick and they're down and out, I'm just not going to be there. I'm not going to show up. When there's a cold car, everyone should come to shul to say tehillim for them. When they're, I'm just going to be conveniently, I'll be on vacation. I'm not going to exert myself. That's also punishment. Okay, is that the property? Is that what the Mesilas Hashem would want you to do?
All of these methods are simply another way of saying, I ignore him. He's out of my
Exactly. Is it proper to ignore? The big Balei Musa would say, would tell you, no, Adarabba. If a person, you have to go out of your way to go and daven for them, and they'll tell you, then you're not even doing it for him. You're doing it for yourself. You're doing it as therapy in order to take out of your heart any hatred. Okay, even though you. But that's not what it says over here. Look what he writes over here. He writes over here is that Oy HaTashlum, and I can't make up these words. Who shelo yilbash sak b'chaloisam? When they're sick, I'm just not going to go put on sackcloth. I'm not going to care. V'lo yispal alein, v'lo yitzel litzorosam. You know, go look in the news. Look in the news. They talk about all the time about people. They talk about assassinating Trump. They make jokes about it. They make movies about it. For the last 2 years, people have such incredible hatred. They mamish talk about it.
Yeah.
And then over here, when the Speaker of the House, when her husband is brutally attacked, so these same people who have said how do they talk about this, and let's say Trump. What does he say about what happens when it's the other way around? You know, it's a two-way street or it's a one-way street? I mean, how does it go? There are many examples of this concept. And he writes over here, Shelo yilbash sak b'chalosim v'lo yispal aleim v'lo yitzel tzorosim. Okay, one more pshat. Then he goes further. He says a third pshat. Very easy, b'divrei goin. Who says this? It's Rav Sadya goin. Okay, Rav Sadya goin, v'ashalom olohem toivois tachas rois. Pumfaker, like I told you the other pshat. We're going over here, mamish mikotze el hakotze. When it says v'ashalom, I can't wait until I get better. And when they'll come Purim, I'm going to send them the most expensive mishloach monos money can buy.
And it'll eat them up.
And when it comes Sukkis, I'm going to send them an invitation and come to my Shmichas Beis HaShoeva. When I make a wedding, I'm going to send a limousine for them. That's what it means to my enemies. V'ashalom Elohim, toivois tachas rois, kimo shohoye min hogoy, kimo shomar, v'ani b'chaloisam. We have another pasuk of that. When my enemies were sick, levushi sok, I wore sackcloth. So we have here four perushim, four unbelievable perushim.
You know, Rav Sadya Gaon's history, you understand what he's saying.
Why?
Because he was very wealthy.
Yeah.
And he didn't go to yeshiva. He was privately taught in Egypt. And when he came finally to Surah Pampadisa, he became the Gaon. But he didn't go through the normal process of everything, and he was resented because he wasn't one of the guys.
Anyone that's successful is resented.
But they realize jealousy. His greatness, but he has that attitude. So if you learn his history, he was an outsider who became the big cheese, so to speak.
It's amazing. It's
very well to do.
It's really that. Look at the Sipurno to get more flavor. Now, remember, the first parish was of Kalman. Who says that? Of Kalman?
But these are all forms of payback.
Wait, right.
Exactly.
Wait, one second. We have Kalman. Let me look at the sound. Wait, Rav Kalman, I can't hear you. One second. Let me. There's something wrong with the sound. Give me one second. Rav Kalman, one second. Let me adjust the sound here. For some reason, the sound is not working. Rav Kalman, you wanted to say something?
Yeah. A few psukim before, he said, "Oy vayim u matan yamut ve'avad shmo." Two things, and he says here, "He prays to Hashem." By the fact that you are there, I'm going to get up and be well. This will be the tashlum to what they said before.
That's the first pshat. That's what the Radak says in the beginning. That's the Radak's first interpretation is, I will be successful, and that automatically is that they'll be put to shame. That's the punishment.
By proving them wrong.
The ultimate revenge is ignore your enemies and just be successful, and they can't live with it. That's the ultimate revenge. Now look, now what do Rashi though say? I mean, what do the Mitzvah say? The Mitzvah says no, revenge is revenge, sweet revenge. You go and you put them on trial. Look at the Sipurno. The Sipurno elaborates upon the perish of the Mitzvah Stavit, and he says Vashalom Alochem on this page 377, Kiroi. Lemelech litikun hamedina ke omram zal shenena shohol al shohikbid al kivoidai shenemar vayivizuhu they were mevaze shol hamelech velo heviu lo mincha they did not bring him a gift vahi kimacharish and he was quiet he didn't make a macha that make a macha of it's not nice what you're doing. So in other words, the Sipurna was saying over here is, you know, David is not a private citizen. Okay, there's a difference between a private citizen and a melech. Malchus, you insult the melech, you're not insulting a person, you're insulting the country. You're insulting the whole Klal Yisrael. And therefore, maybe if I was a private person and someone says something that nice, so I can swallow my pride and I can be meshalim toiva tachasra, I'll go and I'll be. But when you insult the melech of Klal Yisrael publicly, no. Then it's not your cover to be meichel, and it demands retribution. Okay, like, you know, I know. I want to say, but there's a certain rabbi, and if you don't go say good Shabbos to him, he lets you have it. When davening is over, everyone goes around, they say good Shabbos to the Rav. And if you don't say good Shabbos to the Rav, and he'll see you in the street during the week, he'll say, how come you don't say good Shabbos to me? I'm the rabbi here. You come to the shul. What do you think this is over here? If I'm a private person in the shul, all right. But you know, there's a certain protocol. There's a certain, you go to a shul. The shul is not a hefkervelt. There's a Rav. And there's a certain way you behave in the shul, and part of the way you behave in the shul, the environment of our synagogue is such, you have to do what you're supposed to do right.
It's not the covenant of God, it's the covenant of
Torah. Exactly. So that's what the Sipurna was saying. And the Sipurna is saying, what is this Radak doing over here? And going and playing around over here with Da'a, Meichel, Vashalmu, I'll be successful, I'll go and I'll give you a nice... David is not a private person.
You make fun of the president of the United States, the rest of the world laughs at the United States. Not at the president.
Exactly. Exactly. This is how you treat the king? This is how you treat the head of state? 100%. There is a certain dignity that is expected. It has to be balanced, obviously. It's not a dictator, but there's a certain derech eretz that you have for leaders. And David over here is a leader, and therefore you don't play around. Don't play around. So we have over here four perushim, and the Sipurna really elaborates on the perush of the Mitzvah David and when it says in the Targum. And it's not always proper just to ignore everything. All right, let's see what it says let's look at the Radak. Jump down a little bit. Pasuk Yud Gimel Yudalit. Pasuk Yud Gimel David over here says Vani Besumi Ki She Mitzosani Zach V'Yosha Hashem, that you have found me to be a good person. Zach V'Yosha upright Tom Ta Mach Ta Bi. Binofli al Mishkavi, you supported me when I was ill. Now here comes the next words. Vatatsiveni lefanecha liolam kiloyma shetekimeni vatatsiveni chayubari lefanecha kiloyma lavodasecha. V'amar abu lashon osid v'tamachta vatatsiveni kiminog. Now here's the point I want to get to. V'tam le'olam. Very interesting what it says over here. This is an incredible insight. At the end of this pasuk, David says, I was very sick, but because Hashem, you know that I'm a good person, I go in your ways, you restored my health, and you established me before you forever. What? Forever? What does that mean? The word forever is a very difficult word. And he writes, V'tam le'olam means Zman Chayei Ha'odam Kiloimar Sheloy Omus Koidem Zmani. The word le'olam is teaching you a lesson. The word le'olam always has to be translated in its context. The word le'olam doesn't necessarily mean forever and ever and ever for a billion, trillion, quadrillion years. That's not what it means. The word le'olam has to be understood in its context. A person is only meant to live a certain amount of time. Okay, whatever that time is, whether it's 120 years, whether it's 90, whether it's 80, whatever it is. And Rahman al-Sam, a person can do things where he can lose what was meant to be. If he doesn't follow a proper diet and behave himself the proper way, he can lose 20 years of his life. But it was never meant to be that he's going to live for 200 years. He's meant to live for 70, 80, 90 years, whatever it is. And David over here is a young man. He's very, very sick. Whatever it was, make believe he was in his 30s, and he's about to die. He's about to die. He's deathly ill, and the doctors all say, put your house in order, light the candles. It's over. There is no way in the world that you're going to live. This is what we do all day, and the science says you're finished. And David over here says, Hashem, you know, I did a lot of chesed, I have merits, v'chulu v'chulu, and let me survive le'olam. David's not fooling himself, I'm going to go live forever. Let me live what was meant to be. I was meant to live for 70 years, let me make it to 70 years. This is davar haba min achlal, v'yotza min achlal l'lame, lo'ilam l'atzma yotza, ella l'lame l'kolak l'kul yotza. Whenever you have the word le'olam in any pasuk, it doesn't mean forever. It means in the context of the of what we're discussing, it means let me achieve what was meant to be, what was a reasonable amount of time. Doesn't necessarily mean forever. Okay, now there's...
Sometimes it says
a person goes to his world. What's for him? What was meant to be for him?
It's a phrase used also, whether you're worried about something that's not be
over. How long? Exactly. Exactly. What is meant to be for that person? Colin, I can't hear. Colin, for some reason, the microphone, is it possible that it's your microphone or our microphone? We can't hear you loud. Could you maybe talk? Is your microphone on?
Yeah, it's on.
Okay, for some reason, we're having a... Yeah? David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. He lives on forever.
His name.
Okay, so Rav Kalman is saying another pshat that le'olam taka means le'olam, means a legacy. It means a legacy. It means David, of course, is going to die after 70 years, but it means that his legacy should live on forever. Okay, it's another pshat. Now, also, here's another interesting idea. This is it the proper thing when a person is very sick to go and relate?
That's not what the Radak is saying.
Right. So he said, Rav Kalman is saying another pshat. He's saying Radak learns that it means in its context. Exactly. But Rav Kalman is saying that the word le'olam taka means forever and ever. And what he means is it doesn't mean forever, he's going to live forever. That my legacy, because if I'm going to die very young and people are going to attribute my death, my premature death to my averos, they're going to write me off. No one's ever going to celebrate my life. No one's going to ever learn about me. By me surviving and showing the world that I'm a good person, then I'm a tzaddik, and I'm worthy that people should study my life story, and my legacy will go on forever. Okay, now another important yisod here in this mizmor is that, is it the proper thing when a person is very ill, rachman l'slan, for him, as part of his negotiations with Hashem, to relate to Hashem his merits. This is a very controversial topic. First, let's say Rachman Litzan is not doing well. He's very, very sick. And he wants to live. So when he davens to Hashem, is it proper for him to have a conversation? Hashem, you know, I did a lot of chesed. I give a lot of tzedakah. I go through your diary. I did this mitzvah. I did that mitzvah. Hashem, you know, you owe me. You owe me.
That's what you were created for.
You owe me. Or is it, no, that's not the proper thing to do. A person does mitzvahs. These are deposits in your savings account in the next world. It's not your business to open up your diary and say, you know, Ribbono Shel Olam, 30 years ago there was a Yosem, I took him into my house, I took care of him, and you know, it's not right, I should die. I did mine, how could you just abandon me? Is it the proper thing to negotiate with Hashem and recall your good deeds as a zuchus to live? A zuchus, or...
I'm not said in the way that you're saying.
Why not? Hey, now you owe me, but
all the good things I did, please let me live long.
So fine. Now you owe me, fine. So put it by the way, even that, to do that, is that the proper thing to do? Even doing that, I raised Yisaimim, I achnasas kala, biker choylim, I never missed a day, and never missed a minyan my whole life, I put on tefillin every day for an hour.
And
let me go on and do more. Is that proper? Is that proper to think to do? Where do you see he did that? Where? No, you don't see Moshe did it. What? It says in the Chazal that tzaddikim, they only want a matnas chinam. They never, which basically means is that when they come to make a request of Hashem, they don't use as a negotiating tool their previous good deeds. They want when they come to make a request, Hashem.
Abraham didn't want to take a favor from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his own benefit, and that's why it says, if you're giving me a freebie, I'll take it. But I don't necessarily deserve it, and I don't expect it. But if you're handing out gifts...
So this is the debate.
Lord says a person should never... ask in his own zechus.
Oh.
You should ask in the source of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
Okay, but so what does it mean exactly? How far? Look what David over here says. But what does it say over here in this pasuk? David over here is invoking his merits. Va'ani, I, bisumi. This is where the Radak really learns pshat. I, look Hashem, I'm a good person. My entire life, I've done the right thing. Therefore, tamachta bi, because my entire life I've done the right thing. He's invoking his merits. I've done good deeds. Look at the Radak. Look at the Radak. Try to touch these words. The Radak says, "Va'ani bisumi shemitzosani. You have found me, Hashem, to be zach v'yoshar. Tamachti bi benafli al mishkavi v'tatziveni lefnechol olam kiloymar shetikimeni." V'satziveni chai uvari, allow me to remain healthy. Lifonecha koloimar la'avodasecha. He's not saying it as much as I'm trying to put into his words, but there is no question that I've come across this.
But here, he's not negotiating and he's not requesting. He's saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon, that's the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu did these things for him.
Okay,
but he's not asking for it on his zechus. And he's not negotiating.
He's saying over and over
that's
he wants.
Why Hashem did it for me. That was
in the past tense. All right, maybe I'm okay. Okay, maybe I'm not. Maybe okay. I hear you say that. I'm not translating the words correctly. But I can't tell you at this moment chapter and verse sources for this. But there is no question that this is a debate. There is a debate amongst the Gedolei Yisrael. Is it a proper thing when a person is in a desperate situation? And things can go either way. He has whatever the situation is. Is it a proper thing to mention, even just to mention his merits as a way of being me'oirer rachamim before Hashem that he should live longer? Is that a proper approach? Okay, fine. That's a given. That's a given.
You should do it. In other words, that's why it says, you know, when you say in Hineni, V'afol pi she'eini chedai v'roi v'hogu l'ka, I don't deserve it, but I, you know, hopefully I'm...
I don't deserve it, I do deserve it.
Or what is the pshat when Yaakov says "Kotonti mikolach sodim mikolo emes"? Is that's what is a machlokus about what the trump was? Is it a revi or is it a
right? No, but I think the difference is that when a person is Baruch Hashem healthy and everything is good, and it's just a question just more. Come Rosh Hashanah, you know, Baruch Hashem, everything is okay, everything is whatever it is, what it is, and. And you want to go weiter, so you say katointi hineni he'ani mimas. But let's say a person is shutting down, it's over, he's shutting down. All the numbers are going down, all the machines are beeping, and it's over. And now you're trying to go against the tide. It's one thing when a person is cruising along, he's cruising along hineni he'ani mimas katointi mikol hachasodim mikol emes. But if a person is on the way out and he wants to go against the tide and be restored, is it proper? Hashem, you know, maybe you should reconsider. Maybe you should reconsider. Now, other people can do this.
Say, like, give me more years so I can continue doing good things.
So maybe, if a person, if Hashem has made a statement and Hashem is taking this person from this world, that's where he's heading. He sees that in front of him happening. Is it the proper thing to say, of course I want to have more years to do chesed and Torah and avoid this Hashem?
Well, I have been doing the right thing. Give me more years, I'll continue. I'm proven.
And now you go take out your diary and you recite all the merits. This is a very debatable thing. So some say, absolutely. Take out whatever you got. Whatever merit you have, try to do it. But some say...
I have a list of all the different sugulas.
No, the segulas are different. That's a different story.
Take away the word segulas. All the different things a person should use to...
talk about what a person is. Hashem, I never missed a minyan. Hashem, I did this chesed, that chesed. This is something that some gedolei Yisrael, yes. Oh, but it says a person, a tzadzim, only want a matnas chinam. You only, yes. Okay, everything has to be balanced. But you see a little bit of this, at least a tinge of this in this pasuk. Okay, running out of time. Let's finish up over here. Now look at the Malbim, the very bottom of the Malbim says Baruch Hashem Elokei Shlomim Husim Divrei HaSefer HaRishayin. Okay, on page 377, on the very last pasuk Yudal in the Malbim, Ki Mikan VeElich Yaschilu Mizmorei Bnei Korach VeNeged HaBrachos VaTehilos SheBerach VeHilul Ad Ata BeSefer HaZeh, regarding all of the blessings and the praises that David related in this book, Omar Shabrochis Eluyu Bifi Yisrael Min Ha'olam, he's begging that the Jewish people should take advantage of this. Min Ha'olam V'Yad Ha'olam Lidor Doirim Amen V'Amen. By the way, we have to another time, you know, in the Torah it says by the Saita V'Amar Ha'isha Amen Amen. There's a difference between Amen Amen and Amen V'Amen. Okay, there's a difference when you have the Vav Achibor, it changes the meaning. Okay, there's no Vav. It says Amen, Amen. Here it's Amen, Ve'amen. And that has to be discussed. I want to leave you with two more short things. First of all, there's a Medrash, and Mechol probably elaborate on this. This is a very important pasuk regarding Christianity. The refutation of the Shek of Christianity. You look at the Likutei Shas on page 376. It says here the Ani. Where is the Medrash? It's on the previous page. You know what? We're out of time now. I don't want to do this. It's not important. There's one. Let me do much more important. And that this I find this very interesting. Let's look at the Likutei Shas, the last thing, page 376, on the bottom, where it says it's in the middle, 376, the Likutei Shas. No. I don't want to do that. I don't have time for that. I want to do this. 376. It says here about Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, three lines down, this last Chazal, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. B'tchila kara David l'achitofel rabbi. One of the people who had a falling out with David was Achitofel. Achitofel took the side of Avshalom. He had a falling out. In the beginning, David had the greatest respect for Achitofel. He called him his Rebbe. He called him Rabbi Ulbasoif. At the end, Kiroi Chaveroi. When the relationship soured, instead of David looking up to Achitofel as his teacher, he was his friend. And Ulbasoif, Kiroi called him Talmida, you're my student. He looked down at him, you're my student. How do you know this? Betchila Kiroi Rabbi, V'ata you, Enoish Ke'erki, you're a man like my equivalent. Alufi, you are my teacher. Rabbi umiyudoi, three different expressions which mean you're my superior. Alufi certainly means you are my teacher, my master, my general. V'labasoif kuroi chaveroi, a friend. Asher yachtof, together. Nam, the Gemara is darshing these psukim out of context in reference to Achitofel. Together, namtik soid, we will conspire. We will sweeten ourselves in the secrets of the Torah. Beveis elokim nahalach, we will walk together birogesh with trepidation. Now kifishnag adam im chaveroi. Now this is important. V'labasoif kiroi talmidoi. At the end, he called Achitofel a student. Gam ish shaloimi, the Gemara is darshaning this post that we learned today, the man of my peace, referring to Achitofel, asher which botachti boy, I had faith in him, oichel lachm, he eats my bread. So Higdil, like, okay, if he now became my enemy, now I'm worried that he's going to conspire against me. Now, question, how do you see in this pasuk, besides the fact that David over here was not happy with him, and he said that you're going to kill me, but this pasuk is an indication that he's calling him my student. Where do you see in this pasuk that he's a student? Bishloimo, the pasuk number one, it says he's alufi, my Rebbe. Oh, my Rebbe, alufi. Pasuk number two, he's my friend. It says yachtov, we're equal. Where do you see in this pasuk that David relates to Achitofel as Achitofel being his student? So I think the simple interpretation is he's oichel lachmi. I'm the master. I paid for the bread. I went to the bakery. I bought the bread. It's on my table. And he's coming to my house. The Rebbe, the Talmud, goes to the Rebbe. The Rebbe doesn't go to the Talmud.
No, like Yayin and Lechem are considered the Torah teachings. Like Yayin is a
my bread. Very Lechem good. Lechu lachmu belachmi. Bread, it's my bread, and you can eat it,
my teaching.
I think that's the pashup shot. But I want to suggest to you a drush, which I think is very important. In the world, how do you teach a Talmud? How do you teach? Oh, you have a Rebbe Talmud. It's very hard today to find a real Rebbe Talmud relationship. It almost doesn't exist anymore. Okay, they used to be the Gedolim, the previous generation. They came, they had real Talmudim. You don't see today. It's very hard to find today a real Rebbe Talmud relationship, where you can say you learned your whole hashkaf in life. You see these people in Chaim Berlin, the Talmud of Rav Chutner, the Mamish, he was their Rebbe. You hear people, other Gedolei Yisrael, they'll say they learned. It's unfortunate, you don't really see that today. Such a powerful personality that's so holy and so charismatic, it's hard. But how do you teach a Rebbe in a Talmud? So this pasuk says something very interesting. The ish loimi asher botachti boy. We generally, when we look at a Rebbe Talmud, it's usually we look at it as a one-way street. The Rebbe is the Rebbe, and the Talmud looks up to the, oh, my Rebbe, my Rebbe, my Rebbe. Who says that's correct? It's a two-way street. How does a Rebbe look at his Talmud? You see a guy walking down the street. Oh, you see that guy? Everything he knows, I taught him. Everything in his head came from me. Is that what a Rebbe is? Is that what it means, a Rebbe? You're not so proud of it, though. Some of those Talmidim, they go off and they do things that you're embarrassed
of. That's why Rebbe's
eat the Shirayim Rebbe. Okay, that's the Pashup Pshat. I want to say, just suggest to you, that's not the Pshat. You know what a Talmud is? Someone who the Rebbe has confidence in. Asher botachti bo. I have faith. someone who the Rebbe can say, I have faith in him. He's my student. I know he will do the right thing. I know that when he has to make a decision in life, I've taught him, I've worked with him, I've invested my koichos in this person so much that the Rebbe can say that this student, I have faith in him. That when a decision has to be made, something is going to happen, I have faith that what I invested, the koichos hanefesh I put in him, will play out, that he will do the right thing. If a Rebbe can say that about his student, that means you're dealing here with a Rebbe and a Talmud. If a Rebbe can say, listen, he came and he sat by me for years, came to my shir, I helped him, I taught him, but you know something? This guy has an assignment in life, he's not going to do what he's supposed to do. He's not going to do what I taught him to do. He's not my Talmud. The mahus of a Talmud, you learn from this pasuk, is a person who the Rebbe can say, I have faith in him. The emphasis is not oichelachmi. The Gemara here wants to prove what is a Talmud. Tfataycha Talmud. So Pashem Shat, the reason why this pasuk, the other two psukim, a Rebbe and a Chaver, a very pashat, Alufi, a Rebbe, Asher Yachtof, a Chaver. What's the proof that we're dealing here with a Talmud? So Pashem Shat, oichelachmi. Luchu lachamu belachmi. He eats my bread. Really? That makes you a Talmud? If someone goes, you write a book, and someone reads what it says in the book, that makes him your Talmud? He read, he listened to you. No big deal, he listened to you. He's in the car, they're playing a tape, so you listen. Just because you're in the car, and they're playing a tape of someone, automatically you're a Talmud of that person, because you heard him say a shir? That makes you into a Talmud? What makes it, let's say you mamash, you worship him, you love his shirim, that makes you into a Talmud? What makes you into a Talmud is if the Rebbe can say about you, that what I invested in you, I have faith that my teaching of you will result in a result, that makes you into a Talmud. Asher botachti bo. Okay, we'll stop here.
He's my Rebbe, right? You're my Talmud.
Exactly. You're not really called a Talmud unless the Rebbe can say
botachti
bo.
It's actually a flip side, because in Parshas the pasuk is saying, "Is Shlomi the guy who was good to me, that I trusted in him? He turned around and
he became corrupt." But we first are defining, he is my Talmud. Tragically, my Talmud went off the derech. But we're teaching, what is a Talmud? Before we get to the story, what happened,
that's not the Pashup Shad.
It's a drasha, right. The Gemara is making a drasha over here. Yeah. The Gemara is making a drasha. And the Gemara is like, this pasuk is discussing a Talmud who went off the derech. Before we get to him going off the derech, let's fataych, what is a Talmud?
You still have the drasha that this guy that I trusted, but he ended up being my Talmud.
Right, that's the context of the pasuk. But with teaching here, what is a Talmud? And we're using vocabulary.
Right. It's a big part.